Thank you very much. Mark chapter 11. It's a good time for our orchestra members to be seated. All right. Thank you very much. Please be seated. Please be seated. We've got a shorter time. Thank you very much. All right. All right. Have a seat. Sit down. Evan Holyfield went to do a Bible bump and dropped his filing cabinet, man. I'm telling you, all the stuff fell out of his Bible. It was embarrassing over there, but that's all right. You got it done. You managed to do it in front of God and everybody here, so it was all right. Good to see you. Well, it's a great day for us. We certainly love you and want the Lord to use this year. We don't take lightly. You're an answer to prayer, every one of you. Whether you're a senior, all of our seniors, stand if you would, please. You're graduating, hopefully, in about 9 months from here. Our senior class, we love you. We need your leadership. Appreciate every one of you and excited for your future. You're very much needed in this next fall somewhere in the world to punch a hole in the darkness with the gospel of Christ. And we thank God for you. You may be seated. Thank you, our senior class. I just have enjoyed watching the maturation. Juniors, would you stand if you would, please? All of our juniors, you'll stand. We welcome you back, and what a great group of young people. I spoke to someone yesterday. I said, oh, you're a sophomore. No, Pastor, junior. I said, oh, I'm sorry. I didn't realize the time went by so fast. Thank you very much. We love you. We need your leadership. As the juniors and seniors go, so goes oftentimes the school year. You set the tone. You show us the way. And you need to know the way, go the way, show the way. And may God help you to do that. Thank you very, very much. You may be seated. Sophomores, welcome back. Stand if you would, please. Our sophomore class. A lot of wonderful young people there. We welcome you back. We're glad to see you once again. And we need your leadership. Look forward to Spirit Week. Sophomores usually have a little leg up on those things. And so we'll look forward to seeing that. Thank you very much. You may be seated. And then our freshmen, we've already met you. I don't want to take long today, and our time is already gone. What'd I say? Don't want to take a long time today. Freshman, you're good. But I do want to share with you a couple thoughts. I hope they'll be a help for you as you face another year. Tonight I'm preaching a Wednesday night message on getting out to a right start out of Joshua. But I want to speak to you just for a few moments as you face another page of life. Whether you're getting ready to be a senior, a junior, sophomore, freshman. I do not know where you are. And I don't know what's going on behind your eyeballs, and you quite frankly don't know what's going on behind mine. I don't know everything in every situation. For some of you, it was the song you just now heard is your testimony. It's really not my will to be here. I'm here because God tapped me on the proverbial shoulder of my heart and said, I want you. And whether you had this plan or not, that's what you wanted. You follow the plan of God. Others of you, this is a natural progression. You've thought about this since you were in eighth grade. You could not wait for the opportunity to enroll and to prepare for the opportunity to serve Jesus Christ with your life. That's kind of was my place. When I came at a youth conference at 13 years old. I knew that God had touched me, and I knew I was surrendered to do whatever he wanted me to do. And so for the next few years, I knew I was going to be in a Bible college. Which one? I didn't know for sure, but the Lord brought me here, and I had no qualms about it. I was ready to go. I was excited to do and to experience what God has for me. It wasn't an easy road. It wasn't a walk in the park. It was challenging. I got tired. I got overwhelmed a little bit with some challenging things I wasn't used to. I was all of a sudden in a dorm room with people I've never met before, and I was going on a schedule that was very unique that I had never experienced. I had responsibilities. I got a burden for the bus ministry. I was thinking about our son who came here, and his first year he had a kind of choice to go back to California where we were, and he was planning to go to Golden State Baptist College. And I remember sitting in our living room one night, I said, Dad, I'm just going to go ahead and go to Hiles Anderson. I want to go for a year and just give this first year, and then I may transfer. I said, that's fine. We already talked about that, whatever you want, and Golden State would have been a great option for him. But he said, I'm going to go to Hiles Anderson. That's fine. I remember about 6 weeks, 7 weeks, he came home I don't know if he was home or I saw him somewhere with his brother Preston, and Preston asked him, he said, Preston or Derek, where are you gonna go next year? Have you decided yet? He goes, I love the dorms. I like my classes. He said, but Preston, I had no idea what the bus ministry would do to me. He said, I got to lead someone to Christ. I've got people coming to church. We got a couple moms and dads are coming. He said, I don't know where I could go where I would have the opportunity to see lives change while I'm at this stage in my life. And not that he couldn't see that somewhere else, but he said it really captured Derek's heart. And he's still a bus captain of this day in Long Beach, California. He's a bus captain, youth pastor, coach, doing all kinds of different things. But he learned some things in that thing, and it captivated the hearts. And I think if you hear the testimony of Brother John Francis and many of us, we got a heart for God in the bus ministry. You get a burden by going. You're going to do that. And I don't want you to rebel. It gets a little bit different. But I think you're going to find a lot of joy in helping people get saved and helping them grow in the Lord and discipling them to spiritual maturity. You're going to find it to be a blessing. I have six principles, and I go over this every year because I want you to know this. Many years ago, I was sitting right here, and I sat right there and getting ready for a chapel service. And the thought came to my mind, what am I trying to do? What are we trying to do? What are the three men sitting on the platform with me trying to do in the short parentheses of life that you're going to be with us at Hiles Anderson College? When I thought about that, I thought, what are we trying to accomplish? My mind went quickly to 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15, when the Apostle Paul says, if I can't get to you, I'm going to paraphrase, if I can't get to you quickly, I'm going to write this so that you will know how to behave yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of truth. And I thought to myself, you know, 1 Timothy is written so we would know how to behave ourselves as young leaders in the house of God. You know, anybody who has a brain in their head that's a Christian wants to spend their rest of their life being an instrument of God in and through the local church. Local church is where it's at. And I thought, you know what? That's what we want to do. We want to train young people to know how to behave themselves, how to conduct themselves as servants of Christ in the house of God. And then each of those chapters have a theme. Those of you who are returning upperclassmen, you know the theme. Chapter 1, help me out. Sound doctrine. Keeping our doctrine sound. I don't want you to be enamored with false doctrine. I don't want you to be enamored with the progressive movement. I don't want you to be enamored with Calvinism. I want you to be enamored with hyper-dispensationalism. I want you to be enamored with every little blog you see or hear or some fellow that's got some idea that way. I want you to be not bored with the basic Bible doctrines that God gives us. Stay straight on that. Because a swerve ends up in a shipwreck. Somebody swerves and then many people are shipwrecked, and that's doctrine determines our destiny. What we believe determines where we're going to end up. Chapter 2 is to make prayer in your walk with God a priority. I would that first of all, that prayers, and you heard that. If you heard that one time from our other sermons that we heard this morning, and you've heard a lot of chapel messages just this morning, those testimonies. One theme, I knew you would hear it, and I was glad we heard it. Walk with God. Walk with God. Spend time with Him. Make that a priority. And figure out where you can do it. What's your place? I like what Abraham said in Genesis 19, verse 27. And Abraham went to the place that he stood before the Lord. Now, you can't always do that when you're in different locations. But here in chapel and here at this campus, while you're here, you ought to find a quiet place that you and God enjoy talking together. For me, it was behind the gymnasium. And I usually would bump into some of my friends back there. And some of those same friends are still serving Jesus Christ. If it's around the lake, if it's out here in the football field, if it's sitting on the bleachers, if it's in the stairwell, I don't care where it is, but find a place where you spend God, spend time with the Lord. Chapter 3 is spiritual reproduction. It's where you learn to win the lost, disciple the saved, and train those that you disciple. And he says, here's what I want you to do in order to raise pastors. Here's what I want you to do to raise people that help their pastors. Reproduce yourself. If you're a bus captain, you ought to produce a bus captain. If you're a good bus worker, lady bus worker, you ought to produce a good lady. If you're a good spirit leader, you ought to make another good spirit leader. You ought to decide, you know what? Our kids in our route, we're going to do our best to help them be discipled to spiritual maturity. Chapter 4 is to be a good example. This is a quote we've learned here, but our sermons whisper, but our life. Yeah, people can't remember what you say, but they remember what you are. You can give all kinds of advice, but if they see your life as a lie, they don't care. If people don't trust you, they're not going to trust what you tell them. Chapter 5 is responsibilities and relationships. Relationships and responsibilities. the learning to treat people correctly. Whether it be older men, older women, younger ladies, with all purity, whether it be widows or the elderly, whether it be those in my family, outside my family, in the local church, whether it be our spiritual leaders, and always you have to monitor relationships. Some men's sin are very obvious, some men's come after. That means you have to always kind of study your relationship, because you can't lay with dogs and not get fleas. You hang around wrong kind of people, it's going to affect your life, and it has to be monitored. And then chapter 6 is on financial management. You heard Brother Vestal, the first one out of the box, said, listen, I would just encourage you, it might sound weird, but make sure you honor the Lord with your finances. Okay, don't steal from the Lord. If you find $10, give a dollar of that to the Lord. Someone gives you a gift card for $10, give $1 to the Lord. Honor the Lord with the tithe and with the first fruits and with your substance and everything God gives you. Increase, honor Him. Even while you're in college, it's not going to, you need that. You need God. And I think when we learn to give to the Lord, we obtain the fear of the Lord. And the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. You'll know more. Wisdom keeps you from evil. Gives you strong confidence and courage that Brother Bassett talked about. These are great things I want to encourage you with. But I want to share with you just these three things very quickly. Look in Mark chapter 11. Jesus is taking and traveling with his disciples back and forth between Bethany and Jerusalem. Bethany is a place not too far away, and of course there are some friends that live there. He stays with them while he's in the southern part of Israel. Most of his ministry, or much of his ministry, was up in Galilee. But look, if you would please, verse 12. Mark 11, verse 12. And the Bible says, and on the morrow when they were come to Bethany, he was what? Of course, hungry. In the book of Mark, Jesus is the man. And so God tells us he was tired, he was hungry. How many of you have been hungry? How many are hungry right now? All right, good. We'll get out of here quickly, all right? Well, Jesus was walking and he was hungry. The Bible says while he was hungry, he saw a fig tree. And seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, he came and happily that he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves. For the time of the figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said unto the fig tree, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard him say that, heard that. He went, he saw the fig tree, he said, I'm hungry. He went, he looked underneath the leaves and he didn't see the fruit. He said, no one's going to eat from you from hereafter, and kept on walking. The disciples thought, man, that's pretty crude. It's not even harvest time. I mean, it's not the time in which that's supposed to come. Then he goes into the temple. He scourges the people. He turns over the tables of the money changers, and he exercises authority there on purpose, challenging the status quo, and said, my house should be called, and among all nations, a house of prayer. And then at nighttime, when it gets dark, he goes back to Bethany. The next morning, the Bible records what happens. Look, if you would please, at the following part, if you would, in verse number 20. And in the morning, as they passed by, of course, they went home during the night, didn't see it, but in the morning when they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursest is withered away. In a 24-hour period, it dried up from the roots. It could be just jerked out of the ground easily, a fig tree. And Jesus answering saith unto him, would you read the rest of the verse with me? Our Father, please help me just to share these quick thoughts to our student body. I'm so humbled to be with them. Thank God for the parents and the pastors and the friends that are here. Thank you, Lord, for all that it took for you to bring them to this place and to prepare them for a lifetime of ministry. And whether they'll be here for 1 year for a Bible certificate, or they have just come to give their 13th year to Christ, or if, Lord, is the place that you're going to help them meet their spouse and serve faithfully for a lifetime, keep them from the pitfalls of life and help us to be a blessing to them. Help us not only to mentor Christianity, but to model it. I pray that, God, you would help us to exercise leadership without hypocrisy, without partiality. Help us to be easy to be entreated. But I pray you'd help them. I pray that they would mature quickly in their spiritual pursuit of pleasing you. And I pray you'd help these thoughts to be a help to them. In Jesus' name, amen. There are lots of things theologically that God is trying to teach us here. Primarily, the fig tree represented, most likely, Israel. God had planned to feed the world and get the world the gospel of Christ to the nation of Israel. But when he came into his own did what? They didn't accept him. So it opened it up to the Gentile world, and I think that probably theologically it is a test, is an example of Israel. He wanted to use them. He wanted to see them fruitful. They were not fruitful, so he said, you know what? Away with Israel for me getting the gospel. I'll use a Jewish Gentile bride to get the gospel to the ends of the earth. I think that's probably the main teaching of the passage in context. But I wanted to share with you, this really puzzled him. He went to go find fruit. He didn't find fruit. And then it dried up after he said, you know, when no one's going to eat off you. And then a 24-hour period, a bush, you could have pulled it up from the roots. And when Peter saw it, now Peter's a guy who usually, whatever's on his heart, it came out his mouth. How many are like that, you know? He just kind of got, he ate a lot of shoe leather in his lifetime. Nonetheless, he says, Lord, that's the bush you cursed yesterday. It's already withered. What's going on? Are you that cruel with mankind? Are you that, you're expecting something? I'm sure there was a lot of things going on in his head. He's going to begin telling them, and you'll have to read it later, about lessons on prayer, lessons on faith, lessons on believing God and trusting him, and all of which we can learn from. But I just wanted to concentrate just for a moment on that statement. Have faith in God. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 6, the Bible says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Most of you are here because of faith. You just feel like God wants you to come. He's directed you here through your parents, through your pastor, through the leadership, through the Holy Spirit, through your Bible reading, through your walk with God. You don't understand everything that's going to happen. None of us do. I could not guarantee what's going to happen tomorrow in the life and times of John Wilkerson. You don't know what's going to happen to you, but God has brought you this far by faith. And faith is, the Bible says, the just shall live by faith. We're saved by faith, plus nothing, minus nothing, but that's not where it ends. That's where it begins. It's faith to believe that God is for salvation, that he is a rewarder of them who diligently seek him. Faithfulness to believe God. Many folks don't serve God because they don't have faith in his rewarding process. It is faith in Jesus plus nothing, minus nothing, determines your eternal destiny. It is works and service for Jesus that determines your eternal rewards. And it's faith in God's rewarding process. And here they had seen something that just blew their mind, bothered them, and then he said, Peter, have faith in God. Trust him when you don't understand what's going on. Believe him. Who made that tree? Jesus. Who can pull that tree out? Jesus. He is the creator. He makes the rules. You live by the rules. Everybody, we have three responsibilities, rules, and relationships. And most people who are train wreck are in train wreck in those three areas. When Adam got to create it, he gave him a garden to keep. He gave him a rule to keep with the knowing of the fruit, of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And he gave him a relationship with himself and now with his lovely wife, Eve. And it went crazy. You and I need to work on that. And a part of the working with that is having faith in God. Let me give you three things real quick and we're done. Number one, have faith in how God made you. Have faith in how God made you. You're very different than anyone else on the planet. And it's easy when we come together and we mash all these young people together from different states and different backgrounds. Some, you came from a single-parent home. Some, you've got the same mom and dad your whole life, and your older brothers and sisters have been here. This is just like normal for you. Some of you, you didn't even know about Hiles Anderson until last week. And someone called you, and last minute, you're like, well, the Lord just, okay, let's go. Seriously. We come from different backgrounds. Some are tall, some are short. Some, you come from a godly heritage. Some, you come from a drunkard's home. You have different things going on in your background. The enemy of contentment is comparison. Be careful that you don't compare yourself among yourself. You accept the fact that I am going to have faith in how God made me. Psalm 139, verse 14, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. Not going to brag about myself. I don't have to go around and analyze myself and tell everybody how good I am or whatever I am. I just need to come to a conclusion. God put me in these shoes. He made me size 12. He made me 6 feet, 4 inches tall, 202 many pounds. I actually did that myself. I built this with a spoon, brother. I'm telling you what. That's all me. But the truth of the matter is, who I am, why, where I was born, how I was made, is completely at God's hand. And we can trust Him. Don't get around comparing and say, well, I can't do what they can do because they came from a Christian home and I didn't, or they're pretty and I'm not. Don't do that. Be comfortable in how God made you. Say, Pastor, how can I do that? Faith. Go to God and say, Lord, I trust how you made me, how you formed me, and I'm thankful. And I'm good with that. Number two, have faith in how God has led you. Each of us have been led a different pathway. It's like going to heaven. Everyone who goes to heaven the same way. Faith in Jesus Christ. And no one's going to walk around heaven and say, I tell you what, I did a lot of good things while I was down there. I tell you why I'm up here. Everyone goes to heaven because they put their faith in Jesus Christ. But that road is a little different how God brought the gospel to you. And have faith in how God has led you. I want you to think for a moment about how God brought you to this place. It might drive you to the funny farm, but think about it. God has led you a very different pathway. And when you look back at your pathway and how God has led you and held you by the hand, I remember waking up Lydia and telling her, as a little girl, were you 9, 10? How old were you and I told? 9 years old. I went to her room and said, Lydia, I got some news to tell you. Tyler's with the Lord. Your oldest brother, he got killed in a car accident last night. And he's with Jesus. He's good. We got to figure this out. Mom and I have been crying. I've already told Derek and Preston. And now you're my next one. And I want you to trust the Lord through this thing. This is our different path. We're going to trust how God has led us. You might have had a conversation like that. It might have been you're standing there, and some of you, you've watched your mom go into eternity. You watched your dad go into eternity. Some of you, you haven't had anybody die in your whole life that you know. Some of you, you've gone through some abuse. You've gone through some difficult things. That sin is complicated. God did not do that, but God was there all the time, and He loves you, and He'll lead you. He'll direct you. Have faith in how God made you. Have faith in how God led you. Your life is different. But trust God. Say, God, I want to thank you for leading me to this seat at this time, in this place. Have faith in it. Number three, have faith in how God has prepared you. You are prepared for this moment. You're prepared for this season. How many remember, as you sit here today, you think of a Sunday school teacher who got up and prepared you, a mom or dad, a youth pastor's wife. All of us, none of us have packed our own lunch. Somebody's kept on loving us and helping us. Have faith in God. And by the way, reward their investment by a holy life. I see some of you, man, your grandparents are so proud of you, and they've prayed for years that you would serve Jesus Christ. They're telling their friends today, hey, my granddaughter, they're at the college. Yeah. They're so happy. You know what? That they packed your lunch. They prepared you. God's using people to love you. And this is another process in the plan, that God's going to use other things to prepare you. The pressures, the bus route, the teaching, the music class, the orchestra, the activities, all of that is a part. The pressure in the room, in the dorms, the challenges, the rules, the campus, to trying to figure out where in the world the church. You get lost at church. I get lost there all the time. I'm geographically challenged. I can't hardly find my way. Don't ask me east, west, north, south. I'm clueless. But you say, man, this is so big, and there's so many people, and I'm overwhelmed with this. Have faith in how God's preparing you. How He made you, how He led you, how He's prepared you. God loves you. No one will serve God for a lifetime if they're not totally convinced that God loves them. And part of understanding God's love is understanding I'm having faith in how He made me, how He's led me, and how He's prepared me. And let's continue that preparation process. Be open. Open your heart. Open your mind. Open yourself to say, you know what, I'm taking this on. I'm jumping in with both feet. I'm not going to be reserved. I'm going to serve the Lord with all my heart. And those of us who've been down the road a little longer, let's love and help and encourage people in the way they ought to go. May God help us. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the chance to be here in this first chapel. I really enjoy, I think we probably could have an invitation after the testimonies we heard. Such great challenge from every single one. I pray that you would please help us today.